You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 20th of September. Donovan stuns us again. Purple is awesome. Bovada over unders and the points game predictions. Plus Andy Larson in the summer interview series, all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers on what's going on with the Utah Jazz. You can get the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Thanks so much for tuning in. Andy Larson, part two and three, coming up on the show today. Excited to have that for you as we wrap up. Thank you. Send Andy Larson some thanks on Twitter, by the way. He's got a little funny middle initial in there because, you know, he has to because there's too many Andy Larson. So it's Andy B. Larson with an E. Andy B. Larson. If you can send him a thank you on Twitter, appreciate it. Eric came up to me the other day and mentioned a lot of people had said something to him. So you guys, that's really, it's great when you do that. I really can't thank you enough. And it gives our guys a appreciative kind of on your end for coming on. So thank you so much, for doing that. All right. There's a charity event, that goes on every year. And that is at the Larry H. Miller auction. Some Zions Bank has done it the last few years. Pays a lot of money and buys out the practice facility for a night. This Jazz assistant coaches coach. Various regions of Zions Bank employees get to play on the floor with Jazz wearing Jazz practice jerseys, and it's really fun. We announce it. We put it on TV. We try to make it really big. Donovan Mitchell showed up last night. Tyler Cavanaugh was putting work in on the other side of the gym. Maybe Donovan was doing some extra work. I didn't see it. But the guy showed up and just started signing autographs for everyone. He's just incredible. It's just stunning. What an amazing, amazing person he is. Just a tip of the hat. The purple uniforms have been displayed. I've seen him walking around the building. There's other surprises still to come, but that was pretty awesome. Ricky Rubio and the guys all seemed to have been in the locker room yesterday, getting their lockers set up and had their uniforms out. And the purples got put on display by Derek and Ricky and Joe and everybody else. And they are in person. They are just, it's a great color purple too. You can screw up purple. They did a really, really nice job with the purple, and it looks absolutely fabulous. So really, really cool. And the uniforms this year are going to be great. If I understand the way the NBA works, you get four uniforms, and then if you make the playoffs, you get an extra one. So I think the Jazz get a fifth this year. And maybe that's what the purple one is. Or maybe there's another one to come. I don't know. Pretty cool. All right. Locked On NBA today is all of my predictions for points gained. PAC. As we now refer to it as points gained, making the transition together. And as I point out, last year we did pretty well. We got seven of the eight top offenses. The only one we didn't get was the Spurs. Portland, we said, would struggle offensively. They did. Carmelo would hurt the Thunder. It was accurate. The Rockets would be as good as the Warriors. That was accurate. I missed on Sacramento. The Jazz come out in our points game predictions as the fifth best offense in the Western Conference and the ninth best offense overall. This is a team that was 18th in the league offensively post All-Star break last year, that now comes out as the ninth best offense in all of the NBA. If the Jazz are the ninth best offense in the NBA And the number one defense, they're going to be the two seed. The Rockets slide considerably to the fourth best offense in the Western Conference. And a full point gained above the Jazz, which is a lot, but not what they were a year ago, where they were a 9 points gained, and now they're a 3.52 point gain off the average team over a course of a game. The Warriors are at 9 again. They're way better than everybody else. The Jazz are interesting. And let's dig in. You can, if you want the whole show and all the breakdown, go to Locked on NBA. But so what's interesting about the Jazz is you have Rudy Gobert, that's 2.1 points gained. Joe Ingles, 1.2 points gained last year. Favors at 0.8. Tabo at 0.5. So Tabo was very, very good last year. You're taking Jonas out as a 0.3. Dante Exum's a 0.1. Epe's even. Howell really doesn't probably play into this much because he's not a natural rotation player. Royce O'Neal was right on average at minus 0.2. Alec Burks is minus 0.4. Rubio was minus 0.5. And then the two guys that were really considerably negative are Jay Crowder and Donovan Mitchell, both of them at minus 0.6. Joe Johnson and Rodney Hood, who while with the Jazz were considerably negative, both off the list. You lose Jerebko, but you're going to hope that Jay Crowder's better than his minus 0.6 that he was last year. And if that's the case, and then Donovan should have a natural uptick. There's actually, Joe Ingles might come back a little bit. I don't know why. There's actually a pretty good argument that the Jazz off, that this prediction makes a lot of sense. There should be Donovan should probably move from 0.6 to right about even. And Jay Crowder gets interesting. Jay Crowder, you have to try to figure out who he is as a player. And if you go to the 16-17 season while he's in Boston, while Isaiah Thomas is having that incredible year, he's a 1.4 pack. Points gained. That seems a little outlandish. You go to the year before that, he's a 0.6, which is pretty good, particularly for a bench player. And you go before that, he's a negative 0.3. He's kind of been all over the map, but none of them are a negative 0.6. And talking to Jay, last year was just a mess. His mother passes away. He gets traded. He's out of shape. He's disengaged, just emotionally, not like in a bad way, just the world's hard on him. So I think it's a fair assumption that even worst-case scenario, Jay goes to a 0.3, you know, negative 0.3, that's an uptick for the Jazz. If he goes to even, and if Donovan both goes to even, well, suddenly the Jazz start to have what I always want out of a team, which is nobody negative. And that makes them awfully interesting. Comparing how points gained projects teams, and the defense being a little bit of a suspect predictions here, compared to the over-under numbers that are out there. Westgate's current line has the Jazz at 49.5 and Houston at 56. I have the Jazz ahead of Houston. The Thunder at 48.5, I have them as, here's my Western Conference, Warriors 1, Jazz 2, Rockets 3, Pelicans 4, I'll explain that more on Locked on NBA, Spurs 5, Thunder 6, Blazers 7, Clippers and Denver tied at 8. Warriors, Rockets, Jazz, Thunder, Lakers, not in my playoffs, Denver at 6, Pelicans at 7, Minnesota and San Antonio tied for 8, Portland at 9, with the Clippers fading way off on the Westgate line. Honestly, the bet I think might be the best, unless they just start playing their young guys, is the Clippers over. The Clippers over just jumps out to me on all of this. So that's where we sit. More of that is on Locked on NBA. Andy Larson coming up for you. By the way, Toronto peaks out on the East, way ahead of Boston, and then Milwaukee The East, according to the over-under lines, are Boston 1, Toronto 2, Philly 3, Indiana 4, Milwaukee 5. I have Milwaukee and Indiana really chomping at the bit, much closer there. Then they have Wizards at 6, Miami at 7, Detroit at 8. I have Detroit way off. I would take the under on Detroit, and they're at 38, and I would still take the under on that. So you can get the rest of it at Locked On NBA. Today's show brought to you by Intercap Lending. Congratulations to Intercap Lending. Congratulations to you, the Locked On Jazz listener. You have done a wonderful job. Intercap has exploded over the last year, become bigger and better, and really gaining a reputation around the marketplace as the place for realtors to go, for lenders to go, people needing, lender, to, if you need lending, to get things done. Because Intercap does exactly that. Why does a realtor go to a certain lender? Because how does a realtor get paid? They get paid when a deal is done, and that's what Intercap Lending does. Intercap Lending did our deal with Steve Carter. He was absolutely amazing for us and gave us just incredible customer service. He'll do the same for you. It's a 40-year mortgage company. They've come to Utah, no overlays, no additional requirements, direct lender. They get difficult loans done. If you are self-employed, you have business assets, you own multiple properties, those get complicated when you get inside the system. And Intercap has found a way to get those done. So call Steve Carter at 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. Intercap Lending, NMLS 1904-65. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. That's 385-885-28. Call Steve Carter, 385-885-28. We haven't talked the Western Conference, so let's do that today, Andy. The Lakers are obviously the team that had the biggest jump. I have not done my points gained numbers yet, formerly known as PAC, on every team. But what is so? I'm not as confident right now on all my numbers, and I will be doing a Locked On NBA episode on that airing today. So they'll be done and up and on Locked On NBA. So as we really, the truth is, as we record this, I have not done my numbers, but as this airs, I will have done them by then.
Okay.
What is your thought on teams other than the Lakers and of improvement in the West?
Maybe it's just the recent news that's come out about Jimmy Butler, but I'm worried about Minnesota and how that team will get along. And kind of talking about shot quality yesterday, that's not a good shot quality team. They do lose Jamal Crawford, which should help them out kind of from a plus minus point of view. But, they might be my new team that's likely to fall out of the playoffs. What do you think?
Well, I think there's a real question on Minnesota. So you mentioned shot quality. So points gained, I've talked about it kind of all week long on Locked On Jazz as the new way of me looking at teams. They were 29th in the NBA last year in points gained. On just purely shot selection, they cost themselves 2.5 shots per game, 2.5 points per game, 2.5 points per game.
That's crazy.
On bad shot selection, and they were still the fifth best offense in the league.
I mean, so they have obviously talented players with Karl-Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler and all that, but if they, I mean, and maybe that's a path for improvement, and maybe I should be saying, hey, they can do better than they did last year, given that. But, like, to me, I don't know how I feel as Tom Thibodeau as an offensive coach in 2018-19.
How do you feel about Tom
Thibodeau? That would give me a lot of pause.
How do you feel about Tom Thibodeau as a defensive coach in 2018-19?
That's a good point. People may have copied his work enough that he doesn't do anything unique anymore. And that's a tough spot to be in as a coach. You kind of have to figure out what the next wrinkle is, right?
Defensively, they ranked 26th in the NBA in points gained. They're the worst analytic team in the league in how they play. This is just based on where they allow the other team to shoot on the floor. Defensively, so for all of Thibodeau's talk, the only teams last year that were worse was Milwaukee was far and away the worst team in the league. Oklahoma City Thunder were 29th in the league, which a little bit has to do with their style. 28th was the Chicago Bulls. 27th was the Houston Rockets, interestingly enough. And 26th was the Minnesota Timberwolves, who defensively lost 0.9 points per game. And off, like, that's 3 points. Like, it's amazing how good they were last year, considering how unanalytical they were on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and I mean, it didn't show in the offense. Like you said, they were ranked, what, fifth in the league in the offensive rating. So something's going right just with the amount of talent that they have. But when you have Andrew Wiggins taking a ton of mid-range shots, and obviously Karl-Anthony Towns takes his fair share. Jeff Teague does too. Jimmy Butler does too. It does feel like they add up to something less than they should be, and that's why Tibbs is feeling the heat a little bit. And then obviously defensively, you can't be 27th in the league with, you know, a coach Quinn Snyder, I once heard him call the dean of all defense was Tom Thibodeau.
Denver, what's your take on the Nuggets?
I feel like it's kind of the same problem. Like, I actually, you know, their shot quality is better, but how do they defend? Like, it feels like they've completely ignored that side of the floor and added Isaiah Thomas, who ranked out last year as maybe the worst defender in the league for the second year in a row.
So, though they are fitting into my theme of the Western Conference, which is addition by subtraction. So the Jazz are better because they got rid of Joe Johnson and Rodney Hood at the All-Star break.
Okay.
Oklahoma City Thunder are better because they got rid of Carmelo. Denver is way better because they got rid of Emmanuel Mudiay and Wilson at the trade deadline and Wilson Chandler in the offseason. Like, Minnesota's better because they got rid of Jamal Crawford. Not sure they're better because they got rid of Bielitsa, but Anthony Tolliver was nails last year, so that's an upgrade. Like, it's interesting to me, other than Houston, who I do think subtracted, got less good by subtraction, that almost every team, I frankly think the Pelicans might have gotten better. I kind of like the
really? Okay.
Julius Randle addition. I like Alfred Payton instead of Rajon Rondo. I'm on an island on this. That roster still is lacking some pieces. The more I look at it, but I still kind of like the Pelicans. It's interesting to me how many teams, I think Portland and Houston, got less good by losing important fringe pieces, but all these other teams got better by getting rid of bad fringe pieces.
That makes sense. I think it kind of depends to me on who their fringe pieces that are going to be stepping up or the role players that they signed to fill those holes with are, right? You know, like if you're, you know, the Portland Trailblazers and you're replacing Shabazz Napier with Seth Curry, let's say, that's not better, right? But if you're replacing, Emmanuel Mudiay with Gary Harris, you're a lot better. So I think in New Orleans' case that they're replacing Rajon Rondo with Alfred Payton doesn't make them any better in my book, because I think Alfred Payton is one of the worst point guards in the league, and I think the stats show that. But if you are making upgrades on that with better role players, like the Anthony Tolliver pickup was a good one, then you know you are really doing addition by subtraction.
The two L.A. teams are super interesting. We'll discuss those when we continue coming up with Andy Larson. If you missed it yesterday on the NFL channels, Wednesday is crossover Wednesday. So if there's a matchup in the NFL that you're interested in every week, the two hosts of the Locked On Podcast Network teams go head-to-head in a crossover edition and post those podcasts for you. So the big games of the NFL covered like no other on the Wednesday editions on the NFL channel on the Locked On Podcast Network. More with Andy Larson coming up. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. It is a September to remember at Murdoch Hyundai. Incredible deals on the Tucson, plus no payments until 2019. That's right, no payments until 2019 at both Murdoch Chevy and Murdoch Hyundai. But I'm talking Hyundai here in Logan, in Linden, and at 4646 South State Street. The great Hyundai lineup, amazing deals on the Tucson, their mid-sized SUV. The Santa Fe is the one that we just purchased. We got the third row seats and the sports and all the safety things for our 16-year-old son. He's surviving so far far, knock on wood. The Kona is the zippy little mini SUV that compares to the Subaru Crosstrek. And then if you're looking for a little better gas mileage and you want a hybrid, I loved the Ioniq when I drove it. So check it all out. Great lineup of cars, amazing features. Plus, you get the Murdoch Guarantee, which is safety inspections and car washes for life, plus the price match guarantee and the five-day return policy. It's all at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. September to remember, no payments till 2019, also in Logan and in Linden. I'm pretty intrigued by, obviously, the Lakers. I'm not... I haven't run the numbers yet, so or as we record this, I'll have that unlocked on NBA today. But the Clippers were actually pretty good after all their trades last year, and no one is talking about them.
All right, now, so sell me on the Clippers as being a top 18.
I'm not sure I can do that.
Okay.
But I'm not convinced that I think that DeAndre Jordan was that great a defensive player.
That's fair.
I'm not certain whether Marcin Gortat is a that big a step backwards. Is it?
I think so. I agree with you. I don't think DeAndre Jordan. I think DeAndre Jordan was overrated compared to his reputation, especially on the defensive end of the court. Gortat, I don't think is. I think he might just be done. Like he just did not move very well for Washington, and maybe that's because of whatever is going on in their locker room and the John Wall influence and everything else. But he lost playing time and deserved to lose playing time last year, and I think that is a big drop.
All right. And offensively, points gained, it is a pretty significant drop. Like DeAndre Jordan, for his lack of offensive skills, his nine possessions he uses a night at 65% are a big deal. The rest of that team's okay, though. Like, I don't know. Like, losing Austin Rivers.
They're okay to me.
Like, Austin Rivers.
I just
Rivers
don't see any upside.
Austin Rivers. No, I agree. I just don't think they're terrible, I guess is what. But,
okay.
Like, Austin Rivers was a negative 1 points gained. Like, that's a good loss. That's another addition by subtraction. Like, I don't know. I think there's some aspects to them. Now, let's get to the Lakers. Is that a playoff team?
To me, they're right on the edge, but I think probably. You know, if LeBron is the LeBron that he was last season, and even though he took plays off on the defensive end and they had just a hugely up and down season last year for Cleveland, if he has that impact for half the season like he did last year with the Cavs, I think they're still a playoff team winning, 45 games or something like that.
On their roster last year, the only offensive players that gave them a positive points gained were Julius Randle, who's now in New Orleans, Andre Ingram, who played two games, Jason Hart, who might turn out to be very good, Channing Frye and Andrew Bogut. Like, and Donovan was negative too, so Kyle Kuzma might get better. But, like, everyone else on that team's a pretty poor offensive player.
Yeah, I guess you think that will continue? Like, I mean, I just see some of these guys just getting completely different worlds of shots than they got last year. And, maybe Kyle Kuzma continues to take a lot of mid-range shots, but I don't think so. I think instead the ball is in LeBron's hands certainly out of Lonzo Ball's hands as much. And I think they're probably getting better looks as a result. And I think they're probably, going to be a little bit more efficient. And then you look at the growth of you hope at least from Lonzo Ball, from Kyle Kuzma, from Josh Hart, who had a very good summer league. I think there's some upside there. Again, I don't think that they're going to be a top three team in the West, but I think they are a better chance. They have a better shot to make playoffs than, to me, three or four teams in the Western playoff picture, more than, say, San Antonio, who I worry about a lot.
I thought Kevin Pelton on Locked on NBA with me made an interesting point. It's hard to fathom that a LeBron James team could play 500 basketball. Right?
Right.
You just say, like, okay, LeBron's on their team. there no longer can be 500. And yet, post-Christmas last year, the Cavaliers went like 26 and 23 in the East.
Yeah.
So it's not that hard to fathom LeBron James. While he's having the greatest season he may have ever had, they went 26 and 23.
Yeah, I agree. Let me ask this. Do you think the Cavs role, who do you think has a better roster 2 through 15?
Really comes down to what you think of Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Like, if Brandon Ingram's about to take a big jump as an NBA player, then maybe, but I generally think I would probably take Cleveland.
Well, I think it comes... I'm also a Brandon Ingram disbeliever, but I would take Lonzo, Kyle, Brandon, Josh Hart as a starting unit. And kind of the bummer of their signings is that Sam Stevenson and Rondo are going to get playing time. It feels like that roster is worse because of their weird free agent signings. But if they played their best five players, I think that five-man starting lineup might be better than Cleveland's five-man starting lineup.
I don't, but I could, you know. I think those
could be persuaded.
I think the only reason we think any of those guys are any good is because they've been on ESPN 37 times a year.
So are the Cavs, though. It's not like LeBron.
That's fair.
Lacked in the national TV.
No, that's fair.
And maybe there is something to that because they are on a team with LeBron. We tear the Cavs to pieces a little bit, you know, because we expect them to play well next to LeBron, but. I think Isaiah Thomas was awful last year. Jay Crowder was obviously not good in a Cavs uniform. J.R. Smith had the worst year of his career. You go up and down the list of players who played a lot of minutes for the Cavs last year, and it's really like LeBron and Kevin Love who had good years.
Any team out there that you think's made a bigger jump are going to be better than people realize?
Is it bad to be bullish in the Oklahoma City Thunder? I mean, honestly, I know that their team is nearly the same, except, you know, losing Carmelo, I think, will help a lot, especially in the playoffs. Rewatching the Jazz-Thunder series, I was amazed at the number of ways that Quinn Snyder kind of figured out ways to take advantage of Carmelo Anthony. Roberson back is a big deal. I don't hate the Dennis Schroeder pickup. I don't think he's a plus player, really, but I don't think that he's worse than, like, Raymond Felton, and I think he gives them something. But to me, that's probably a 50, maybe even a 55-win team.
Okay, I like Milwaukee, I think.
Okay, we're going outside of the – I didn't know we could go outside of the West.
That's all right. I mean, I like Oklahoma City. I actually had Oklahoma City as ahead of the Jazz, and then when I did the Real GM podcast with Danny and Adam, they kind of talked me out of it, actually. And just a lot of what their point was, if anything goes wrong, the guys they're relying on are just remarkably questionable. Like, right? Like, even, like, if Alex, like, look at their depth chart for a second and how quickly they're suddenly relying on Alex Abrines and Jeremy Grant to be really solid.
Yeah.
And that's true. And then we've already had it with Russell, right? Like, Russell's... like,
what do you mean by that?
Like, he's hurt. Like, so is Dennis, is Dennis Schroeder. Like they're... like, Terrence Ferguson... they're like Terrence Ferguson, close to starting Terrence Ferguson, Andre Robertson, and Jeremy Grant, right?
Yeah, that and if that happens, you know, then they can't win those games. You know, they'll win 30% of those games for that time.
Right. I mean, Paul George starts in there somewhere, but, like, I think people get what I'm saying. Like, they're, I don't know. Like, so if, like, Dennis, there's, what's their opening night starting lineup? Dennis Schroeder, Terrence Ferguson, Andre Robertson, Paul George, Steven Adams?
I mean, would they put Jeremy Grant at the four or, I don't know. But yeah, something like that. And that's really hard to score.
Right. So that's a little.
Now, lineup's not, I guess it, that lineup's not terrible defensively, depending on what you think about Dennis Schroeder, but it's not like Westbrook played a lot of attention on the defensive end in the regular season. So I don't know.
I thought they were going to be elite defensively last year. So with it, and then they added Carmelo. And so maybe maybe I should go back to believing they're going to be elite defensively this year.
Well, and they were, when they didn't play Carmelo.
Right. So my team is Milwaukee. I just thought that they were so poorly analytically coached last year, and I like Brook Lopez stepping in the place of the John Henson, Tyler Zeller, Thon Maker mix of centers.
Agreed. And to me, the coaching is the biggest difference there. I think Brook Lopez is okay, but like the difference between the way the Milwaukee Bucks crazily played defense last year, it was just hyper-aggressive and was frankly unlike any other team in the NBA, and the way that a normal coach will have them working after a training camp, I think alone, you know, gives them at least a few wins. And you know, I don't know that I believe them in them in the playoffs over the Sixers, Celtics, or Raptors, but as far as a top four team in the West, or in the East, excuse me, and having home court, I'm with you. I think they'll be very good.
Andy, enjoy your first season as a beat writer. Are you taking any trips off?
Went to D.C. last week, but other than that, I'm just ready for training camp to start next week.
Well, we're looking forward to having you. Thank you very much for taking the time in the summer interview series. We appreciate it, and we'll see you at Media Day.
Cool. Thanks, David.
Huge thanks to Andy Larson. Please hit him, Andy B. Larson, on Twitter. Tomorrow, a live show for you, a Friday live show with Media Day coming on Monday. The season's right around the corner. It is Locked On NBA, part of Locked On Jazz. Go listen to Locked On NBA for all the points game predictions for the season. Send me your questions for that for tomorrow's show. Look forward to chatting with you. And if you haven't joined our Locked On Facebook group, please do. Talk to you soon.